Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. You may not be aware of it, but there is a consular diplomatic community in St. Louis representing countries all over the world. What do the consuls do and why? We'll be talking about that just a little bit later. But first, the families of people with Alzheimer's disease know only too well the hardship the disease poses to those suffering from it, but also to caregivers who are often family members. The disease may strike just one, but it leaves multiple victims. Stefania Silvestri knows the story all too well. It's a story that played out largely here in St. Louis. Her father was diagnosed with early-onset Alzheimer's here when he was under 50 years old. She was 14. It had a dramatic impact on her and her family, and she writes about it in her book, Beside the Mountain, Finding Strength and Courage Through My Father's Early-Onset Alzheimer's Disease. Stefania Silvestri joins me in studio. So nice to have you with us.
Hi, thank you.
And welcome home. You're in Los Angeles now, but this was home for a long time.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And this is where your story about your father started.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how that came to be, how your family came to realize what it would be dealing with.
Okay. Well, my mom first started noticing he had troubles making tips at restaurants, and he would dance his pen around the check, and he used to be very good at numbers. He was an electrical engineer, and his personality would start changing. He would get angrier and more explosive, more so than usual. And eventually my mom would start asking him questions, asking him some math problems, and then one day he finally answered her, and the answer was incorrect, so she knew something was wrong. So she took him to a doctor, and at first they said it was depression, but after subsequent visits, they found out his cells were dying.
What an awful thing to be confronted by for a family, particularly your father was 48 years old at the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you were 14.
Mm-hmm.
Your reaction to watch all of this unfold?
Well, I didn't really understand that he was actually sick with dementia. I thought he was just, you know, maybe things would get better. I didn't know it was going to get worse. And so because I was a teenager, I didn't know how to handle it well. And I talk about that a lot in the book. And then when they started fighting a lot more and I started fighting with him, I realized he couldn't talk to me afterwards the way he once did. And then I realized he was different. And
you had siblings who were also mm-hmm. going through all of this. What were their ages in relation to yours?
My younger sister, Nicole, is almost 7 years younger than I am, and my older sister's 4 years older. And so at the time, I was Flavia was 18 years old, and I was 14, and Nicole was about 6.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's quite an age range, and mm-hmm. I'm sure the reaction to this was different. How did the 7-year-old, Nicole was the 7-year-old,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How did Nicole respond? Was she aware at all of the kind of things that were going on?
I don't know if she really knew he was sick, but she definitely saw all the fighting going on in my house because, you know, my parents are Italian, so they have explosive personalities too, but I was different this time, and I was fearful that she was going to get used to how things were in our house and think it was normal because I knew that something was different. But I don't know if Nicole necessarily did. All I know is that she would see it and get upset by it a lot.
By the fighting primarily.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what I mean. And Flavia?
And Flavia, I'm sure she knew. We didn't talk too much about him being sick because she had gone to college and we would stay in touch and talk about day-to-day things, but as far as my dad's illness, initially we didn't talk too much about it, not till later when he became much worse.
How did it progress from the time the diagnosis was made at Washington University?
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
correct.
Mm-hmm.
Not very far from where we are right now. How did it progress from that from the time of the diagnosis?
He, again, started with numbers, not being able to do math with tips and calculating that, and then eventually he wouldn't be able to remember our birth dates, and there was one point where he couldn't remember his address when we were at the store together renting a movie from Dierbergs, and I had to say the address quickly, and I thought that was strange, and then after a while, we even got flashcards for him to start practicing numbers and math because we thought maybe he could remember. So I remember my little sister holding the flashcards in front of him and trying to guess with him. And then after a while, his stuttering increased and he wouldn't be able to finish sentences. And It would just be a series of stutters and small words, and the personality changes were always there, but they started becoming more severe as he started becoming even depressed because he could sense he was changing as well. And I think that was the most heartbreaking.
As this progression was taking place, what was your role? And I'll mention your mother's role primarily because Nicole was so very young. Mm-hmm. What was your role as a caregiver and your mother's role?
Well, my mom was really the primary caregiver. As he started to get worse, she would be the one in charge of, you know, making his doctor's appointments, driving him there all around St. Louis, and she would eventually shower him, shave him. Nicole, even though she was young, she would put him to bed at times and put his pajama on and just help him go to bed and at times brush his teeth. And meanwhile, I would do all of that as well. And I went to college in 2002, and that's a year before he went to the nursing home. So by then, he was really dependent on us for everything.
A great deal of tension and frustration within the home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how did it manifest as far as you're concerned? You're very, very frank about this in the book, about how it changed your life. Mm-hmm. Give us some sense of what was going on.
Well, at 14, you know, kids are starting to change. And for me, I decided that I was going to change. And I was very depressed. And I let it shown. And I let it be known. And I decided that when my dad was sick, that I was going to be even more sad and let myself feel it. And I did so by cutting and self-mutilation. I even read books about Satanism that I would get from Borders and Barnes & Noble, and then my mom would find them and return them. And then, my cutting really increased a lot when my dad was sick, and I would drink by myself. And I remember one time my dad was there, and he would try to father me as best he could, but of course he couldn't speak, so he would just try to scream or try to stutter and look at me and cry. And then when my mom finally caught me one night drinking by myself, she threw open the door and threw some papers at me that detailed the stages of decline. And I read about them, and I read about how one day he wouldn't be able to smile anymore. And it was really hard. And at that point, I knew I had to change. I couldn't let this image of a broken daughter be the last thing he remembered.
And I suppose at some point it occurred to you that what you were doing was also affecting your mother, too.
Oh, because, gosh.
Because she had really a pretty full plate as it was,
yeah,
without having to deal with a 14-year-old,
yeah,
right? Yeah. How did that work out?
Well, her nerves were very thin, and she was very angry with me. And I would remember thinking, why is she screaming at me? Why is, you know, we smacked a lot in my house and my smacking increased. And she really was angry. And that was her way of dealing with it. And she was scared. And I realize that now. But I wish I knew that as a teenager. Maybe I wouldn't have been so rebellious then. But and then I think of Nicole and how she would just be there watching it all. And luckily, she hasn't grown up to be too messed up. She's really got a great head on her shoulders. And
I'm sure that one of the reasons you wrote the book was a certain sense of catharsis, getting the story out, mm-hmm, but also to help others who might be confronted with a similar kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any sense that you've connected with anybody that way?
Yeah, at times I find myself talking to people who have gone through, you know, losing a loved one to Alzheimer's. I haven't met too many people who have lost people to Alzheimer's who have been young, but now that they know that it's possible, it's been helpful to know that they're not alone, because I know I always felt alone, and my sisters did as well. So hopefully people are understanding more how different ages can be affected.
It's not too strong a statement, is it, to say that when Alzheimer's strikes, there's more than one victim, more than the person,
mm-hmm,
who has been stricken.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And in your case. How is Mom doing now?
Mom is doing well. She found her calling through caregiving and taking care of people, and I know that she's happiest when she's helping someone else. And it really, I hope that she finds something that will give her as much joy.
Another touching part of your story is the fact that when he did finally go to a nursing home,
mm-hmm,
that she found it necessary to be there as well. Tell us about
mm-hmm
that.
he went to the nursing home in the end of 2002, really 2003 in January, and we all sort of moved in there with him, and we were there all the time. But my mom especially got a job in dietary and served food to the elders, and she was there from morning until night because she needed to make sure he was being taken care of properly, and she wanted to be with her husband. And so she really became a part of that nursing home.
Mm-hmm. She wanted to be near him.
Yeah.
Yeah. My guest is Stefania Silvestri, and she is the author of the book Beside the Mountain, Finding Strength and Courage Through My Father's Early Onset Alzheimer's Disease. She was 14 when her father was diagnosed. He was 48 at the time, only 48 years old. We'll be back to continue our conversation with Stefania, and we'd like to get you into the discussion as well. If you've had any experience with Alzheimer's, perhaps as a caregiver, and you'd like to share those experiences with us, come on in at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email, if you like, at talk@stlpublicradio.org. We will take a tweet at STL On Air, and you can also reach us through Facebook. Back with Stefania Silvestri in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back to our conversation with Stefania Silvestri, the author of Beside the Mountain, Finding Strength and Courage Through My Father's Early Onset Alzheimer's Disease. And I think the title tells pretty much the story and what we're talking about here today. We placed your father in the nursing home now. That was in 2002, I think you said that happened. But, you know, one of the things that struck me, because I've had some experience with older people, too, who leave the home. With Alzheimer's, it's fairly typical if they can get out of the house, they go and they just take off. Mm-hmm. You've had certain experiences along those lines. Give us some sense of how you dealt with that.
Well, it happened to me one time. I was sitting with him watching TV, and I had fallen asleep, and when I woke up, he was gone. And the recliner was extended, and I knew that he had struggled to get up naturally because by then he had forgotten how to close the recliner. And I called up to my mom, and she said she couldn't find him. So then that's when I knew I had to go out and look for him, and it was terrifying, and it was, to say the least, scary. And I took the car and went to places where I knew he walked, and I found him on Baxter, actually. I don't know if you're familiar. And
oh, sure, out in West County, the Chesterfield area.
Yeah, so he was on Baxter, and I pulled over and tried to get him in the car, and he was angry. Seemed to me he left a lot when he was in a state of anxiety or panic. And luckily, I had found him rather quickly, but he ran away a second time a year later or so, and he was gone much longer, and the police were involved at that point. And he was on his way to the Chesterfield Mall, and the police found him right before it got dark. So that was luck, but that was a moment that I didn't take part in because I was working at the Walmart in the Valley that day. But he made it home. But that was the scariest moment, I think.
They can cover a lot of ground once they get out and really wind up miles and miles away very, very quickly.
Yeah, it was more than a mile away.
You say your father got angry, and I'm one of the things that I found humorous in the book, and I'm not making fun of anything, but when you said that at the end, all he could remember were the Italian curse words. I thought that must have been quite something for the family to have to deal with. Go ahead.
All the nurses in the nursing home recognized those bad words, and they would say, "Oh, I learned a new one," and it was funny.
Hey, I'm learning Italian. Let's go to the phone, Stefania. We have a number of people who want to chat with you, so let's begin with Ruth, who is on a cell phone, and I hope you're not driving, Ruth.
I am driving to see my mom in a nursing home.
Be careful, please.
I'm very, very careful. Thank you. I'm a little bit older than your writer. I'm 48 years old, and I was just fascinated to hear her story and her composure. And, I think part of the problem we have, whether we're 14 or in our 40s when we're dealing with our folks, is there's just no blueprint for dealing with parents with Alzheimer's. And I found myself feeling angry as a caregiver, even though I love my mother very much. A lot of my anger was at the community in general. Mm-hmm. My parents go to church faithfully, and there just didn't seem to be anybody willing to help. No phone calls, people retreat from you, everybody's scared of the disease, And I was just wondering if the writer had any suggestions. And with all due respect to the Alzheimer's Society and stuff like that, I don't think we can just depend on national organizations. There's got to be some recognition in our churches and other community centers that this is not everybody goes instantly into nursing homes, you know, that there's a period of time when people are at home. And how do you reach out for help? Because that was hard for me, too.
Ruth, thank you so much for the call. What do you say?
Okay, Stephane? Thanks a lot. Uh-huh. Thanks for the show. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was a big, big problem in our house. Our extended family, my dad's brothers and sisters, didn't even believe he was sick. And when you are alone with the disease and people are calling you a liar and rejecting the idea that that disease could happen, it's really, really traumatic. And my family and I depended on one another, and we depended on friends that we could trust. And we had one family, the Rallos, who I talk about in the book, and they were our best friends and our extended family. And so, unfortunately, we had to depend on the few friends we had to give us everything we needed back then, and the help of a psychologist, thankfully. But, you know, seeking medical help, too, for yourself and finding therapy and it's really frustrating because when you meet one person with Alzheimer's, I've heard before, you only meet one person with Alzheimer's. It's not universal, and it's hard to know that.
Did you have to undergo therapy?
I went to therapy, oh, yeah. And so I still keep in touch with her, too, because she saw every member of my family, and it was, yeah.
You're still keeping in touch. How is this whole episode staying with you today?
Well, I know that I stay connected with my family as much as I can, and I realize the importance of family, and I realize the importance of forgiveness, and so I know that if we get mad at each other or anything, we need to stay together. We need to forgive one another because we know how difficult a past we lived and how we need to move
forward. Shared experience certainly has to bring even closer together as a family.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the phones. Let's bring in Richard calling from St. Louis. Richard, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you very much. I want to, first of all, thank you for talking about your story. My wife developed Alzheimer's at the age of, or dementia. They don't really have a clear diagnosis at the age of 53.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, many people prefer to deal with this privately and won't talk about it. And, I mean, that's their choice and needs to be respected, but I'm really glad you are able to talk about it because it's important to put a young face on this disease because many people think of it as something that just happens when people get old, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to talk about the importance of a support group. I've been going to one for 6 years through the Alzheimer's Association, and it's been very helpful to me, and I know we have high attendance, so it's good for others, and also the importance of individual counseling, both for the person with the disease and for the caregivers. I also want to let the community know that Washington University will be holding a conference on April 27th, through the philosophy department on finding humanity in advanced dementia. So my question for your guest, Don, is how did things happen? How did things go when your father became quite advanced?
He became quite advanced in that he needed us for everything, helping him to the bathroom, helping him to bed, and but then he would become so agitated he wouldn't sleep, and we even got a hospital bed put downstairs in our living room at one point so he wouldn't have to go up and down the stairs, but he wouldn't sleep in it. And from lack of sleep and from constant worry and anxiety, we needed something my mom needed for him to go to, I believe he went to Barnes Jewish to stabilize him somehow for the medicine. And from the hospital, they took him directly to the nursing home. And it was a lot of pushing and urging from, especially even my older sister, Flavia. She knew it was time for him to go to the nursing home because my mom was really losing all of her energy. She was at her wit's end. And we needed him to finally have the help 24/7. And we waited to the last possible minute, really.
Alzheimer's also steals not only the memory but also dignity, doesn't it? I mean, a person has to be totally taken care of, as you indicated you had to do with your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring in Sheila, calling from University City. Sheila, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Hi there. I have 2 points. The first one is, you know, I know there's a genetic component to Alzheimer's, and as I'm getting older, of course, it's, you know, when I see my mother, I wonder if this is going to happen to me. And the thing that was really upsetting for me about this is she did everything right, all the things they tell you to do. She's always been very mentally engaged, an avid reader, goes to the library several times a week, does crossword puzzles, plays some board game with her friends twice a week. She kept her weight down. She exercised. She did all the things you're supposed to do to lessen the risk of this. So I was very upset when she got it. She just turned 91 on New Year's Day, and she was diagnosed when she was 87. And it finally occurred to me that, well, maybe she would have gotten it a lot sooner if she hadn't done all of these things. And she was put on Aricept pretty early in the diagnosis, so it hasn't progressed to the point where she doesn't know us. But there's still something in the back of my mind about, you know, is this going to happen to me? And the other thing is, we were able to put her in an assisted living place for the first year and a half with her savings, but, you know, we burned through that quickly. And she's now in a nursing home, which isn't nearly the kind of environment that encourages, you know, more activity. So it's a shame we can't afford to keep her in the other place. But, you know, her activity has been slowed down because of that.
Thanks for the call, Sheila. The fact of the matter is that the older we get, the greater the chances that we're going to wind up with Alzheimer's. But we're talking here about your dad in early onset, and there's a very strong genetic component to that that I understand.
Mm-hmm.
That can you explain that, how that manifests?
Well, I know it's complicated, but I believe if it's familial Alzheimer's, there's a 50% chance that I may have inherited a gene, or if I inherited the gene, there's a 50% chance that I might develop it. Regardless, it's quite risky, and it's a better chance that I might receive the disease, or get the disease rather. And so it is scary. But just the other night I was getting yelled at by my younger sister about how I shouldn't be scared about getting it and just live my life. And so we argue about that a lot.
Is that something you're finding difficult to do?
Well, I make small comments about, oh, should I get married now? Should I have kids? And she'll say, you know, why do you have to worry about this? It's fine. What if your kids get Alzheimer's? What if we get Alzheimer's? What if we don't? The thing is, we need to just keep living as best as we can and just do the things that we want to do and experience them as best as we can without the fear of getting it.
What is the best advice that you could give caregivers, Stefania?
Just to not lose hope and to know that one day it will end and one day they will be free and you will be free, and just to take it day by day, because sometimes they do have good moments and it's those moments that you need to hold on to until they finally are released from this.
Yeah, you say one day you will be free.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it must feel like, is a freedom from this burden, if you will.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have to end our conversation now. I'll recommend this book, Beside the Mountain, which is written by our guest, Stefania Silvestri. Her dad was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's at age 48. Stefania was 14 years old at the time. The family was certainly affected by this for a good many years before your father passed away. Beside the Mountain, Finding Strength and Courage Through My Father's Early Onset Alzheimer's Disease. Stefania, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Best of luck to you and with the book.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
Coming up, the St. Louis Consular Corps, what it is and what do its members do? That's next. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.